The Asia Pacific Report on Sabahul Muslim with Kiru Naidu.
A very good morning to you, Kiru. As always, most welcome.
Delighted indeed, Mulana. I'm very pleased to be speaking to you and your listeners.
Is the bloodbath in Myanmar continuing after the February 1st coup?
Well, that's a very unfortunate but apt description of what's going on in Myanmar right now. The latest figures are that the death toll has climbed up to 550. And of those 550 civilians that have been killed, 46 of them are children. So it looks like the military is just tightening its grip all over the country. And the most recent deaths have come from the central part of Burma, where the military just opened fire on anti-coup protesters on Saturday. So between Saturday and now, we've seen some of the most violent reactions by the military authorities there. But the protesters are not letting up. There's constant and sporadic protests right across the country, usually small groups of people able to move around on motorbikes and mobilize people and get international attention for the atrocities being committed there. The military has also taken some very stern steps. As of tomorrow, all internet providers will be cut. And they've also taken some measures to curb mobile phone access. So it looks like Burma is now returning to its earlier days of complete isolation from the rest of the world. And whenever you close down circuits of information, it's a way of smashing protest. So I fear, as we said on the 1st of February, that what's likely here is a mounting death toll, not unlike the 10,000 that were killed in the 1988 uprising. But also, along with these measures to openly shoot people on the streets of its towns and cities, the military has also attacked the Karen National Union. We spoke in part about this last week, about the airstrikes. And there's something like 12,000 people that have been forced to flee their villages. And the Karen National Union, which has mounted an insurgency against the central authorities for the past 60 years, signed a ceasefire agreement in 2012, but that's now under threat. And there have also been attacks on the Kachin people in the northern part of the country. So we see here, in a very multi-ethnic, multi-religious state that is Burma, the military just acting against everybody in the most violent way imaginable.
Now, North Korea is again in the news about its nuclear program. Can you update us, Kiru?
Yes, an interesting report that's come from the Cato Institute, which says that the approach of the North Korean nuclear program is very much a tactical one. And experts are saying that if the United Nations and as well as individual countries were to renegotiate the sanctions campaign that's been implemented against the North Koreans, it might bring Kim back to the negotiating table and have some kind of kind of link or lead-in to the government there, and to be able to discuss what it sees as the plan for its nuclear program. But what we are also noting here is that not only have there been these nuclear tests in late March, these were cruise and ballistic missile tests, and these are missiles capable of carrying nuclear warheads, but we're also seeing a concerted program right across the board to ramp up the nuclear capability. And just some statistics are very handy. The Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, and Kim Jong-un's grandfather, he conducted 15 ballistic nuclear tests between 1983 and 1993. And these stats come from the Washington-based think tank, the Nuclear Threat Initiative. Now, Kim Jong-il undertook something like 16 nuclear tests during his time. But Kim Jong-un has presided over 4 nuclear tests and 91 ballistic missile tests. So what we're seeing here is the Korean Peninsula, other than being one of the most heavily armed places on Earth, is also so heavily nuclearized that it poses a threat to world peace just very generally, not only to the neighbors like Japan in the immediate vicinity of North Korea. So it's a matter of great concern, and one hopes that the North Korean government might be brought to the negotiating table as soon as possible.
Then finally, what are the concerns about the government's COVID-19 response in Hong Kong, Kiru?
It's been a very stern response from the government in Hong Kong as it tries to control the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, of all the parts of China, Hong Kong has been one of the heaviest hit, and that's largely due to the concentration and sort of dense concentration of people in that territory. The criticism has been that it's been a weaponized COVID-19 restriction program in Hong Kong. And just to give you an example of some of them, for instance, the restaurant owners are compelled to subject their customers to contact tracing. Now, ordinarily, we wouldn't think twice about that. We would think of giving our information when we go to a restaurant for reasons of public safety. But in a territory like Hong Kong, where people are very concerned that they might be pursued by the authorities, giving such information creates enormous tension. There's other provisions, for instance, that teachers are to be tested for COVID-19 regularly once the school term opens again just after Easter. There's also other provisions that, for instance, if more than four protesters stand together, they face stiff fines for violating the social distancing regulations. Now, at the ordinary level, these might sound reasonable, but in a territory like Hong Kong that's been plagued by consistent protests over its political restrictions and the like, these kinds of measures are seen as designed to smash any kind of resistance to the state. And beyond that, the state has gone on to impose not only a variety of restrictions, but a number of arrests of key anti-government protesters over the last several months. And now, you have a city of 7.5 million people. When you have these kinds of restrictions, it really puts a lid on not just social activity, but also effectively closes down all kinds of political activities.
All right. That was this week's Asia Pacific Report. Kiran Naidoo, thank you so much for your time. Always appreciated.
Delighted indeed. Thank you, Mulana. Have a good day.